Weston Nkosi from South Africa with Mazuzu, which means young woman. Of course, he was writing this song for me. I jest. This is a from his 2011 album, Rhythm of Healing. And I just love to hear it because Weston Nkosi made the penny whistle, the humble penny whistle, sound fantastic. So I like whenever I hear his music, it just lifts your spirits. This is Lead Stories. I'm Utrecht Lead. It's Free Your Mind Friday / yes, there is a / for those who didn't get in on the first installment of this four-part series that we're dealing with, if you didn't get in on the discussion, today you can, before we move on. We're doing four parts of this analysis, recording specifically our own reactions to this impeachment trial and the result of the impeachment trial. And in each segment, we will deal with a particular subject. The first one was titled appropriately, The Beginning. And we had people give their views about what they felt or what they sensed was the point of the very first the first foray into this debacle, which turns out to be a debacle with the final final end being the acquittal of Donald Trump. But we have three more to go, and I figured because we had a lot of traffic and I was so sure that not everybody got in who wanted to get in on that conversation. So you have your pick. You can do your Free Your Mind Friday thing where you choose your own topic and you go at it and you make your point. Or if you wish, you can add to the collection of voices that we have, people expressing their views about this just concluded trial. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. So let's get started. And we get started with you, Jay, from New York.
Therese, how are you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Can't complain. Doesn't help any. You know, this whole impeachment farce that just happened shows that the direction of this country is probably at its worst. And it doesn't look like it's going to get any better because the individual that you have in the White House has absolutely no character whatsoever. And plus, he's a very sick man. If you noticed yesterday, the behavior that he displayed in regards to his so-called acquittal by the Senate of his impeachment was absolutely deplorable. No leader of any country should ever act and behave in that fashion. People around the world have seen this, and I know the majority of the leaders around the world were in utter shock, amazement, and disgust by that type of behavior. And, you know, we're going to have
to... Here's the reality, Jay. The reality is that however he behaves and has been behaving, It doesn't seem to change the outcome. We still stuck with him, and
Well, this
he's
was the
still doing
second
his
point I
thing.
was going to get to. The second point that I was going to get to is that because of his behavior, the so-called opposite party, the Democratic Party, they better get their act together if they want to get rid of him. They better get their act together. And from what I'm seeing, based on what happened Monday in Idaho, and now up to these 5 days, they in trouble. They in trouble. And I've been saying this for weeks now. It's all about messaging. It's all about messaging. And the Democratic Party has no message. They can't galvanize the people. They can't do what's necessary to stop this guy because they don't know how to galvanize the public to come and listen to him. If a person don't listen to you, a person don't know what you're saying. And the American people don't know what the Democratic Party is saying because they're not listening to them. And they have no idea on how to go about getting people to listen to them. The most enjoyable thing I heard politically all week was from James Carville and what he said. That was the most enjoyable thing I heard all week politically. And you know, during the course of the day, you always run across something politically, like what you say and others say. But we're in deep trouble in this country. And you know, the beautiful thing is, some of us has options to go other places. And you know something, Utrice, I'm sorry to say this, but I think you may have to start thinking about going back home. You really may have to start thinking about going back home because I know your mother and father don't want this for you. I know they didn't want this for you. You know, seriously, because you have options. Because a couple of my friends have left, they retired, and now they went back home because they can't
Well, I
take it no
have
more.
news for you. It seems as if that wouldn't necessarily solve the problem because the whole world is in such turmoil and disarray. You leave one thing and you run right into the same thing someplace else. So you might as well just hang.
Well, but then again, you in Florida, in that area, so the weather is always nice. So you know, we can't use that as an excuse because I know the weather is usually beautiful at your home. But hey, listen, Utrice, whatever we do, we got to figure something out on how we're going to survive if this guy gets back in office. Because I'll be honest with you, I'm at this stage where I'm comfortable. But I'm concerned about my children's future. They really have no future as far as I'm concerned. And I tell them all the time, look someplace else to go and make a life for yourself. Because this right here, I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be. Because the more judges that they put on the bench, the more wicketry that goes on. And you know, we don't even talk about the impending financial crisis that is coming our way. We don't talk about the trillions of dollars in debt that we are in, and it's just a lot. But all I can say is, let's keep fighting, and hopefully we could, you know, get people to get our message and make a
All
message
right.
to try and get rid of them. Have a
I'm
good day,
with
my
you on
sister.
that. I'm with you on that. Thanks for getting us started today. Ed from California, you're on the air.
Hi, Utrice. I really
Hello.
liked your introduction music there. Between that and Gary's nitric oxide stuff, I'm ready to run a 26-mile marathon. I'm revved up, I'll tell you. I didn't get in yesterday. I wanted to call in, but my siblings called in from back east, so I was not able to call yesterday. So I wanted to give my opinion about the impeachment process, if you don't
Great.
mind. When I first heard about this impeachment, the first thing that came to mind for me was, why this? Why not everything else that he has done? Why did they choose this particular these two particular items to impeach him on when there were so many other blatantly obvious impeachable offenses that he created, including inciting racial, including inciting riots. In the beginning, when they were going to have Mueller investigate him, he threatened that if he was removed from office, there would be riots in the street. That's an impeachable offense. The other impeachable offense that was never looked at by the Congress was when they appropriated $640 billion for the Pentagon. He took some of that money and appropriated for his pet project, the wall. You can't do that. That's constitutionally illegal. You can't go in and take money that's appropriated for one department and just take money without approval from Congress and use it for a pet project. The other thing that I wanted to mention, which is very alarming, and this just happened in the last 24 hours, William Barr came out with an executive order that if any more investigations of political candidates were to occur, they have to go now through him, not even through the Justice Department, but through William H. Barr, setting himself up as sole authority to decide on what should be investigated and what shouldn't be. So we are seeing democracy dwindle in our eyes, obstruction of Congress, obstruction of justice, firing James Comey, and it's very concerning, this latest thing by Barr, because you may see in the next election, you may see if it's close and Barr feels like it's illegitimate, you may see Trump remain in office. So this is also very, very alarming.
Why do you think that, from what you said, why do you see it that the charges against Trump in this trial were kind of soft?
Well, first of all, Hunter Biden was on the board of directors of this company that's been seriously accused of money laundering in the Ukraine. You had two prosecutors, the one that was fired by Biden because he was investigating his son and the very company that he sits on the board of directors for, and then the current prosecutor for the Ukraine also backed up the former prosecutor's claim. So I don't even know if that's true, that what Trump did, because those two prosecutors said that Vivianovich perjured herself during the impeachment inquiry. And then Gary Null had a special program on with a man who was an expert in Ukrainian studies who backed up the two assertions that the, and I can't remember his name, I'm sorry, I have to go back to the program, I think it was in November, where he mentioned the two prosecutors that came out and said that Ivanovich perjured herself. So I don't even know if that charge that the Democrats made against Trump was even true. It may have been a cover-up to cover Joe Biden's son, because Joe Biden, they wanted as a candidate, a main candidate, to run against Trump for the Democratic Party. So these other, that's why I don't even know if that's true. And yes, it is soft and left open to interpretation, but the ones I mentioned were much more blatant.
Of course, and, but what I'm trying to get at is that that's the earliest signal that they sent. The Democrats sent the signal that it was possible to negotiate, and it was possible that they didn't have to get rougher than that. And they that's what they wanted. They wanted a nice, neat little legal tango that they could, you know, they could negotiate on. So they only produced two of the many, many charges that they could have added on. They only went with two articles of impeachment, both of them, as I pointed out, having to do with Biden. And
right,
I think exactly. that was turned down flat, and they got an early response that there will be no negotiation here. We're going for broke. You do what you have to do, we'll do what we have to do.
Yes. And so what's changed? Well, you can even say what's changed in the last 50 years here, where we're at today from Richard Nixon, and that was an independent prosecutor. This, I'll go back just one further, because the Democrats have been trying to unsuccessfully remove Trump. Then they had a special prosecutor, Mueller, but the fix was in on that because Mueller was going to report to Barr anyway, and he couldn't indict, he couldn't do anything, so the fix was in there. In this particular case, this was to protect, I believe, Biden. These two charges were to protect him.
I think so, too. That's from the very beginning I said that, because it was just so bizarre that of all the charges that should have been added onto their list, they could only come up with essentially two articles of impeachment. That was just, that really triggered a suspicion in my mind. Well, thank you for calling in and contributing today. Thank you so much. Henry from Chicago. What's going on, Henry?
Hey, Teresa, how's it going?
Okay.
All righty. I want to wish you and the PRN and Lead Stories listeners a productive weekend, as best as everybody can.
Same to you.
You know, the thing about this Trump incident, you know, I think I expressed this the other day in regards to how this is basically all a ploy by the Uniparty to kind of keep Trump in office. And everybody, you know, focus on Trump. Trump is just basically a manifestation of what this country's been going through for, you know, the last century or so. So, I'm always arguing against the fact that a lot of what has been exposed in this Trump administration has not been his doing. He's just basically kind of magnifying it. And, you know, I feel like when he's going to be, I feel like this, he's going to be maybe the first president. And I don't know if this is right, but correct me on my civics. He may be the first president to be impeached twice in his terms and actually get off twice. Am I correct? You can be impeached twice, right, Beatrice?
Well, it depends, I would imagine, because what would be, at what level, both at the federal level, are you going to have a situation where some charges are not quite at that level and others are, so they have to break it up in two? What is going on?
This is just me kind of projecting, because you know me, I said Trump was going to get off. He's going to win the election in November, and I just feel like later on in his second term, they're going to attempt to impeach him again, and he's going to get off, and he's going to be the first president in history to be impeached. You know, to be attempted to be impeached twice and get off twice.
Huh? I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
That's a point. But you know the thing is. The Democrats were totally unprepared for a fight. And that to me was an amazing thing. They were completely unprepared for a fight. And I don't understand why. The nature of Trump is combative. You know, let's have a fight. He can't wait to fight. You could hardly expect that after you vote two articles of impeachment that all will go quietly into the night. No, he's ready to fight. But they weren't ready to fight.
I don't think it was a fight. I don't think it was a fight.
This is my point. Trump was fighting. But they couldn't respond. They didn't respond as if they understood this was a fight. You know, they were responding like bureaucrats. Well, we will file these papers and then we'll wait to see what the response is. you know, they were so out of sync with how you have to conduct a fight with Donald Trump. He's a dirty fighter, but that is known. He came into office as a dirty fighter, as a lying, yeah, dirty fighter. Why were they acting like, you know, suddenly he will, you know, adopt some kind of new manners and decorum and, you know, go by the rules?
I mean, he's still acting the way he acted. I mean, he just got up on stage,
yes,
yesterday saying the four, you know, BS again. So it's like, you know, this guy's like really uncouth, and I don't know why people are surprised about this. But, you know, Utrice, I wanted to also mention this too, because this is something I wanted to suggest, and this might be a suggestion to one of your listeners. I'm currently reading a book called A Terrible Thing to Waste. It's about environmental racism and an assault on the American mind. It's by Harriet A. Washington. And I think it's a really productive book with some good information. And I believe Harvey, I think, is the environmental activist on your show. I think he would, yeah, appreciate this book. I don't know if you've ever read Harriet A. Washington's work, Utrice, but she also has another book called Medical Apartheid. And I thought that was...
Oh, yes, I know about really medical apartheid.
Yes. But this new book that she has is also, to me, it's about as good as Medical Apartheid. So I would definitely suggest reading this book as well.
All right. Well, thank you. Have yourself,
all right, thank you,
a productive weekend, as you just wished us. Thank you so much. Gwen from New York, you're on the air.
Wow. Hi, how are you, Utrice?
Okay, how are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm like, there's a lot of action just in the start of the show. I just want to say, I agree there is medical apartheid. I don't know if this is what he meant by medical apartheid, but I many times have thought that my husband would have gotten a lot better care when he died if he had not been black. If only he had not been black. It has been proven that when people have heart attacks, doctors will spend up to an hour on a white patient, and they only spend a half hour on somebody who's black. And that is what my husband died from. And I remember even the medical doctor that we were going to see, how she shrugged off the urgency of what I was telling her. My husband had a diabetic heart attack, and she refused to give me the equipment that I needed to measure his blood sugar, because we had insurance that covered that. And she was really rolling the dice. You know, she wanted people to come in every single time, every month, so that she could keep billing back to the insurance companies. And in the meantime, you know, my husband ended up having a diabetic heart attack because of really lack of treatment. And I always went with him to all his visits, you know, feeling very protective, because I just feel that there really is a big difference. It just doesn't seem to be that urgency. It seems to be like a cattle call when I go in and I see if most of the people are black. It just seems to be like herds of people being herded in, being herded out, but nobody really being treated. So I believe that probably that is, I don't know if that the book that he was referring to is about that, but I would just say in my life experience, I believe that to be the case. But I called you because I'm so frustrated with what's going on with Bernie and how predictable it is, but on how many fronts he has to fight. It looks to me like the Democrats are hell-bent to either keep Trump in place or have Bloomberg be the second flavor of the month. To me, it is a disgrace that when I hear over and over again on the TV, on the radio, that Buttigieg and Bernie Sanders are neck and neck, when Bernie Sanders had 6,000 more votes than any of the candidates there, I just don't understand how those numbers came out to be that. But Buttigieg himself should be investigated for his close ties to the shadow company, which is the company that did the app. And it was really suspicious to me that he came out very confidently and declared himself a winner way before anybody else did, as if somebody had whispered in your ear, look, you're going to be declared the winner here. And I just think that that passing this off as a debacle or something that was a glitch, I don't think it was a glitch. I really just don't think it was. And I think that now we're seeing more of Hillary's. By the way, Hillary's people were involved with this company, too. The birthing of this company came from people that were working in her office in 2016. But Buttigieg has one of his staff members. His wife is working directly for the company. And if for anything else, it should have been a conflict of interest. This company should not have been used for any of this. He has a direct line to that company. And that company has had employees coming out for the last couple of days that discussed that the employees routinely talk about Bernie Sanders and the company in a very negative way. So I think that their explanation of the glitch hasn't been explained to me enough. I don't believe it, because it isn't from what I understand, this is not really that complicated of an app. And if they were really serious, it certainly would have been tested before they went out and used it in the public, especially given all the other problems with the Democratic Party. So that's very disappointing. And it looks to me like, I think what they're going to try to do is they're trying to get Buttigieg in there first. They'll kick him to the curb later on, and then they'll have Bloomberg come in. He's waiting in the wings to go in. And they're thrilled to have him because he's another billionaire. He's, another capitalist that's going to, keep the status quo in place. But I also think it's really interesting how seriously they are taking Bernie Sanders' campaign, because this is a lot of effort to take this one guy down. And yet he keeps getting more and more popular, and he keeps getting more and more donations. I don't know if America will let us have Bernie. I don't know if the powers that be will allow this man, even if he wins the presidency, to actually be the winner. I don't know if we're at that place anymore in this country. I don't know if anybody could ever win an election fair and square just by having the people come out and vote for him. And I think what the first caller talked about with Bob Barr is extraordinarily alarming, really, really scary. I believe that Trump became emboldened after this impeachment, like everybody else does, and there he was strutting his stuff yesterday. And I think that they have a very small circle. You know, Bill Barr knew him before he became the president. They have a social circle that they're involved with. And Barr's father was the principal at Dalton School, where Jeffrey Epstein became a teacher. He was hired by Bob's father, and Bob and his father wrote this crazy book on sexcapades. And then he hires Jeffrey Epstein. Well, Trump has frequented Jeffrey Epstein's house many times, and he raped that 13-year-old girl. And I want to bring this out and underline this. If the Democrats were really serious about impeaching Trump, then they would have talked about the fact that Maria Yovanovitch had a death threat put out on her life by the Trump administration. You don't say, get rid of her, take her out, do it today, when you're talking about firing somebody. And the thing is that neither one of the two people that Trump was talking to on the telephone could fire her. Only Trump himself could fire her. It was his job to fire her. And yet he was telling
you. But then he made the rules. He made the rules. Trump basically canceled any independent rules that people should follow. He made them.
Yeah, he instructed Mayor Giuliani cannot fire Maria Yovanovitch. He can't. He said he's not even in the government. He can't fire her.
I know
he doesn't have the power.
So supposedly he can. You can't say he can't do it. He did it.
And Mayor Giuliani didn't have a
very
fire
quiet.
She was told to get out of the country by the CIA, that there was a hit on her life, and they were very serious, and they took it very seriously. And here's where the Democrats really, really decided not to pursue this, because this would have been the argument that would have been brought Republicans on board, because let me tell you something, they can go all the way down the line, but they have to stop when it comes to murder. And that is what he was talking about, and everybody knows it. And so the Democrats decided not to do that. And I'll tell you something else. When I sent that rape case to Rachel Maddow in October of 2016, of Trump raping that 13-year-old girl at Jeffrey Epstein's house. And I gave it to her five times, and she opted not to air it.
No, but you have to say allegedly. There's no proof.
Okay, wait. It was allegedly. It was an alleged rape case, but what I picked up was the case that was filed with the state of New York. And so that is what I gave her. So the alleged rape case was there. And I'm going to tell you something. In 2016, if the Democrats or if the media had aired that, that probably would have changed a few minds. Because, again, people will go with a lot. But if you read that case and you read what that girl wrote down, her own words, it was really, really troubling. And then, of course, everybody knew about Jeffrey Epstein. But I want to tell you something. Epstein and Barr and Trump and Giuliani, all of these people were associates of Epstein, okay? So we're still not talking about any of that. And I doubt that we're ever going to talk about it, but go to Epstein, and that's where all the bodies are buried, and that's why he had to get buried himself. So I don't think the Democrats were serious about this, because if you would have offered up any of these two problems, issues, arguments, I bet you people would have taken it a lot more seriously. And I bet you Maria Yovanovitch understood the seriousness of what was going on, because the CIA doesn't just come up and tap you on the shoulder and tell you got to get out, your life is in jeopardy when there's no problem. And if you look at Trump himself, please don't tell me that the mafia is not running the United States of America. They certainly are, and there's your mafia in chief right there. And that's where we are. And where do we go next? I don't know, but it sounds like to me, with the news of Bob Barr's new position, that we could be heading very quickly into a dictatorship, and who knows from where.
Well, thank you, Gwen. You put a lot on the table today. Thanks so much.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Yes, there's so many things to talk about. I'm going to start off on something that I've heard very little about. I've listened to some programs, and this is about Kobe Bryant, and he was identified as a rapist by some people on the earth. As far as I know, he was never convicted of being a rapist. I think that girl in Colorado, his legal team made a settlement with her, but as far as I know, no court convicted him of that. So just saying that about him, I think, is very wrong. Also, people need to realize in some of these cases of accusal of sexual assault, people who are celebrities, and some people who are not celebrities, have people, let's say women, chasing them all day, especially sports figures who make huge salaries. They have people chasing them, women and girls, day after day. So, you know, well, they need to go and find someone to do a violent rape against. So, you know, this is never thought about. And as far as I'm concerned, I know from personal family experience, some of the very dangerous people when it comes to sexual assault are the people in law enforcement. I have people in my family who have been women who have been stopped at night, and various police people in riding cruisers have tried to rape them. So I tell most women and girls that I know, if you run into a situation and where the policeman tries to make some sexual assault against you, do what my relative had to do, and tell that person that you have some venereal disease, and that's the only way. In that case, he backed off. So, you know, that's what I want to say about sexual assault and the celebrities who are chased down by women, you know, all the time. Another thing I want to talk about, I'll try to be as brief as possible, is a medical treatment, the apartheid system of medical treatment here for people of color. And I know about that because I've been involved in that. And I know what it is to get bad medical treatment that is injurious to my health and a lot of other people, too. So one way that we need to look into, or think about, rather, Bernie Sanders is talking about Medicare for all, single payer. But no one is talking about another very important element of getting good medical care is the fee-for-service problem. In other words, physicians, for example, and other medical providers only get paid when they do procedure. So that leads to a situation where people are having procedures done that are unnecessary. And this happens all the time. Quite often, the practitioner is successful in doing this unnecessary procedure. People who are informed and cautious back off and don't let that person do that procedure. So I think that's very important to change the system of medical and dental care so that perhaps many physicians should be on salary rather than feeling they have to do something just to get paid, even though that something they're doing is not necessary. And I have personal experience with that. So that is an element that people ought to consider. Changing the system to emphasize prevention rather than just treatment, surgery, and pharmaceuticals. And this should be part of the change that Bernie Sanders is talking about, Medicare for all. And those two elements would improve the system of health for all people in the country as I see it, especially nutritional training for most people, so we don't have the epidemics of diabetes and obesity and the things that are making our people sick all the time.
Thank you. Thank you, David. Good to hear from you today. E from Edgewater, you're on the air. Hello, E, you're on the air.
Here, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay, good afternoon, dear.
Good afternoon.
I apologize again for yesterday's call. You were asking a specific question that I called in to respond to Lincoln about the Democratic Party not getting over the fact that they didn't win the election, and this is why they're so vehement about getting Donald Trump out. First, I had a little side thing about the Biden thing. It wasn't just Joe Biden's son, Hunter, involved in this getting this money for being on the board. It was also the former Secretary of State John Kerry's stepson was Hunter Biden's partner, and he also received $1 million like Hunter received to being on this energy board. So that was an extra thing that was involved in that. I don't know if people knew about John Kerry's stepson.
No, it's not. I mean, it's not widely known. It has not been widely reported.
I believe I heard this while I was in the car. I don't have a smartphone, so I listened to the regular radio. I probably had NPR on, and they were discussing the Joe Biden thing with his son, and that was an added thing, that he also received $1 million, John Kerry's stepson. And these aren't young men. These are guys in their 40s.
And 40s, received, yes.
Yeah. So, but back to with had Hillary won the election, it would have been the worst thing for the Democratic Party, because we've had Charles Oettel, and I wanted to ask you, have you heard from Charles Oettel? Because he was on 20 times telling us about, have you heard from him?
Oh, yes, we talk all the time.
Okay. So there's nothing new about the foundation and the charity?
Oh, yes, there's a lot new about the foundation.
Okay, and, so this is what I'm saying.
It's coming soon.
So this is what I'm saying. Had Hillary won the election, think about, instead of Trump being under the gun by the Democratic Party, the Republican Party would have been coming after the Clintons, and now I wish they had won. So at least there'd be an investigation going on about this foundation, this charitable organization, where all the money went to. But you know, unfortunately, that's why I think the whole thing was set up for Trump to win, so he could take all the heat and be the patsy, and then Clintons can go enjoy their life as regular citizens. And they never wanted to be in the White House again, because it made no sense, because they would be under too much heat. And I don't think people take that into consideration when they keep saying this thing about the Democratic Party can't get past that the Hillary didn't win. She was never intended to win. That was all set up for Trump. And that's one of my main reasons why I believe that, because they would be under so much scrutiny right now if they were in the White House. There'd be more women coming forward claiming that they were abused by Bill. And Hillary would have to answer all of these things about the foundation. So she was just in it to make sure Trump won. And this is why it's all set up and it's all scripted. And this is what I believe in my heart.
All right. Well, it's a theory. You never know. You may be right, but we'll have to wait and see.
I mean, don't you think that it would have been like this? The Republican Party would have been coming after the Clintons like there's no tomorrow. Don't you think that would be the case had she won?
Well, I don't know how to answer the question, because politics is a very unpredictable thing. But I'll tell you this. The foundation and the Clintons are in deep trouble. And not just within the United States. There are many governments demanding answers right now about where all that money went. And there are many governments involved. It's taking a while, but they're being very, very meticulous. And the Clintons don't have much in the way of a defense, because the records have been retrieved. And now they have to answer very tough questions.
Okay, well,
The fact that the foundation was illegally organized here in the United States. We could start there. But countries all over the world have been working on the Clinton Foundation for quite a while now. So they're not going to get away at all. The case against them is very, very serious. And the money that is missing and unaccounted for, we're talking billions of dollars. So we'll be hearing about the Clintons as they try to defend themselves very shortly. You can be assured of that. Thanks, E, for your call today. D from Georgia, you're on the air. Hello?
Hotel.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Look here, I've been told I have a vivid imagination. Now, I'm thinking about one thing about the election 2020. I do believe the Democrats will win. I think the Democrats have two weapons at the same time. They're fighting against Bernie during the election with Buttigieg and all those other folks. And they're giving a message out through Bloomberg. But here's the thing. Trump will get defeated, but the replacement would be worse than Trump.
What makes you so sure?
What makes you so confident in that prediction? I just feel that way. At first I told you that the only thing the Democrats had to worry about was the Democrats. Now, even though the Democrats is messing up, Trump is messing up even more. Trump is showing now each and every day. I mean, he sounds like he's coming unhinged, that he's a bully. And don't nobody like a bully. They don't trust a bully.
Bloomberg, well, you'll be wrong about that. That's exactly what they love about Trump.
Well,
Trump's people love that he's a bully.
Yeah,
they love that he is crass, that he lies, and he's in your face. They love it.
Yeah, they love it. They love it until he stings them. See, a bully has no one to be allegiant to. Everybody's supposed to be allegiant to the bully. Now, you got somebody like Bloomberg that's coming in who's a billionaire, who's known to be a billionaire. He's smooth, and he's sending out a message each and every day. I don't like Bloomberg. I don't like him at all. But the messages, the ads and stuff he's sending out is right on the money. They're crisp. They're clear. Now, either he'll win or maybe Biden will win, but whoever get in, they'll do the same thing that Trump is doing, but they do even more because they have a quiet demeanor. And that's what will get them over. They'll go back and get in the same old wars. They'll pass money out to the same billionaires, tax breaks. They're war hungry, so the military-industrial complex get more. They'll turn around and try to cut Medicare and Social Security. Yeah, they'll be worse than Trump. They'll be worse. Matter of fact, we might even miss Trump.
Don't say that. Watch your language.
I'm serious because you know, Trump has all eyes on him, so anything he tries to do, they're going to make something of it. You get someone in that's quiet, this, that, and other, and talking all nice to you, you don't think he's going to cut Medicare. You don't think he's going to cut Social Security. But they'll do it some kind of way, pass it some kind of way that we don't know nothing about.
What, given the scenario that you just painted there, do we have a chance at saving ourselves, or it is a done deal?
No, it's not a done deal. We have a chance, but you know, I was listening to Ezra Quasi other day, and Tony Brado the other day on another black talk show, and they asked them, say, what do you think is wrong with the masses? You send out this all this information, they don't listen. And he said, I'm gonna tell you what a great historian told me, I think it might have been Dr. Clark, Dr. Ben. They said the asses are masses. I mean, the masses are asses.
Mm-hmm.
They won't do nothing until it gets right on them, until it stings them around behind. Now, we got a chance, but will we wake up? We'll wake up. I don't know. What does it take for us to go to the streets?
Well, that's been the popular question. People have been asking it for quite some time now.
That's it. And another thing, I think the Democratic Party is running pretty close to the end. I think it's running pretty close to the end because all this stuff that's happening to Bernie, even though they might get away with it, it's becoming more blatant. You talking about what Trump is doing is blatant? What the DNC is doing is blatant, very blatant, starting with Iowa. And close. Every time they feel like Bernie's going to win, they go behind closed doors. They're talking. They get a reason to bring superdelegates back in, this, that, and other. It's becoming more blatant on both sides. Both parties are showing that they are corrupt, extremely corrupt. The point is, when will the people get tired, get fed up? They see it. You can't tell me they don't see it. When will they get fed up and go to the streets like they're doing in Europe? When we start having strikes, start having mass protests?
We've been asking these questions, but we don't seem to get answers to these questions.
That's the reason why the Democrats will get in this time. But I don't know. I don't know about the next time and the time after that because people are losing faith rapidly in this system, this process. They have no one to vote for.
Well, we have to leave it there today. I'm so glad that you called in and contributed so meaningfully. I thank you for that. And I thank you all for calling in and sharing your thoughts as freely as you do, which is why this program exists, that we can come together, listen to each other, listen to what's going on in each other's minds. And somewhere there will be a light. We'll see a light, and we will begin to develop based on the light that we receive. Thank you. Have yourselves a great weekend. Surround yourselves with people who bring positive dimension to your life. And we see each other on Monday. Thanks.